Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our ascended Lord and Savior who rules over all things. Amen. Our text comes from the book of Acts as we hear the continuation of Luke's account from the Gospel of Luke. Now, picking up in chapter 1 of Acts, Luke continues to expand on the birth of the New Testament church. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after many infallible proofs, alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. This is God's word. We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come to us as we hear your word and receive your Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. The day has finally come. The king's son is ready to be crowned. The king is sitting on his throne, and his son is approaching. The crowds are silent. They're watching. They're waiting. They're murmuring among themselves, wondering, will this be the time when he is going to restore the kingdom? They watch as the sun approaches, and there the king stands up. And he says this, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. He reaches out his arm and places it on his head and says, you are a priest forever. The crowds are watching and waiting to hear what the newly crowned king, who sits at the right hand, will say. He turns around to the people and he simply says, wait. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which have been put into my Father's hand. Wait. Wait for the promise of my Father. And wait in Jerusalem. He says to wait. We've heard the scriptures. We've recited them. Psalm 47, Psalm 110. How God has gone up with a shout. How he will put kings under him to be silenced, how he'll rule over all nations. And we wonder, will God restore the kingdom? We look around at the world around us and we don't necessarily see God and his kingdom coming. Maybe it's what we see politically. People on the news arguing, trying to gain more votes, slandering each other. We look at the religious problems. We see churches that don't all teach the same thing. They don't all believe the same thing, and we wonder. We look at moral problems, how our country no longer really knows what's right and what's wrong, and we wonder. And even mathematical problems, statistical problems, as we look at our church and wonder why we aren't bigger, why we haven't grown more, why there aren't more people here tonight. And we wonder about God's kingdom. Lord, will you at this time restore it? But Jesus says, wait. There's all kinds of false ideas about the kingdom of God and how it's going to come. What do we mean when we pray the Lord's Prayer? What do we mean when we pray, thy kingdom come? What is God's kingdom and how does it come to us? There's all kinds of false ideas about this kingdom. Take the apostles, right in our text. What are they expecting Jesus to do? They're picturing Jesus restoring the kingdom of David, great King David, with his kingdom that was so powerful, growing, expanding, united. And there was a promise to David that his son would restore this kingdom. And so they're wondering, is God going to restore Israel to what it once was? But Jesus says, wait. We watch as later on, Rome begins to assert its own idea about the kingdom, teaching that the kingdom comes under God's earthly representative, that all who are under the Pope and belong to the membership of the Holy Catholic Church are going to know God's kingdom, that God's kingdom is seen under this earthly religious unity with one leader. Or the Reformed, who teach that there is a moral kingdom, that God's kingdom comes when morality begins to make right with the world, that we have a political agenda to accomplish, to put into place the right laws and bring about the right society that will bring God's kingdom to us. And even Lutherans have their own problems. Sometimes we get the idea that God's kingdom is just an outward thing, that it's a matter of mathematics, statistics. When churches are growing, we think, well, the kingdom's growing. When churches aren't growing, we think the kingdom's stagnant. When churches are getting smaller, we think the kingdom's failing. What do we expect when we pray, thy kingdom come? Each of these examples has something in common, and that is that they imagine God's kingdom is an earthly outward thing. Something we can see, something we can touch, something we can do. It's driven by the law. But Christ says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. He ties God's kingdom to the Holy Spirit. His answer to their question, will you restore the kingdom to Israel, is you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What he's saying is watch and wait and pray. The victory of God's kingdom is a heavenly victory. The victory of God's kingdom is a heavenly thing. A spiritual thing. In Martin Luther's catechism, he addresses this in his large catechism under the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come, and he says, God's kingdom comes to us in two ways. Firstly, when he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we believe his word. And secondly, when he comes at his second coming, at the final consummation of God, all God has come to do. So two ways that God's kingdom comes. Firstly, when he gives us his Holy Spirit. As Jesus says, you shall receive power, that is, God's power, God's authority, God's kingdom, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The event of Pentecost shows us how God's kingdom comes. When we watch the events of Pentecost, which we'll be observing in a couple Sundays, we see God's kingdom coming in signs and in his word. Notice what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. When he says, "Therefore, Jesus, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, has poured out this which you now see and hear." He ties together Jesus sitting at the right hand of God with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. The preaching of God's word, the events of Pentecost, were all centered around the disciples and apostles speaking God's word to all nations, the gospel, the message of what Christ has done, that he's died for our sins and risen from the dead. This is what God's kingdom is for us. This is what resolves our problems, whether they're political, when we're waiting for the right candidate or the right leader to make things right. Jesus says, "Wait for my Holy Spirit." When we're looking for religious unity among churches and wondering when things will be right so that we can have fellowship with all Christians, Jesus says, "Wait for my Holy Spirit." When we're looking for moral reform and we want the nation to become what it should be, a Christian nation with Christian laws, Jesus says, "Wait for my Holy Spirit." And when we're waiting for our church to grow, when we're looking for that mathematical kingdom, Jesus says, "Wait for my Holy Spirit and see what is poured out in my word when the growth happens in you, when I give my Holy Spirit to you. And in your heart, the gospel is at work, teaching you to trust me and to love me and keep my commandments. Then you will know what it means to pray, 'Thy kingdom come.' Then you will know what it is for me to open the scriptures to you when you learn to wait." And so we're waiting. We're waiting for the consummation of Christ's return, because the fullness of God's kingdom, even though it comes to us in the Holy Spirit, is not full until the final coming back of Jesus. Two ways that God's kingdom comes: in the Holy Spirit and the final return. So we watch as God's Son is seated. We hear him say, "Wait till I make your enemies your footstool." And we pray, because Christ has been blessed with a priesthood. God has reached out his right hand, put it on Jesus' head, and said, "You are a priest forever." His kingship is priestly, according to Psalm 110, which means that he's come to intercede, to hear our prayers, to make us heard before the Father. He comes to bring us a priesthood. And what better thing could we do than pray for his kingdom to come, for his final return to come? Luther uses the illustration of a beggar. He says, suppose a king invites a beggar to come to his castle. And he says, "We're going to put on a grand party, and we're going to bring this poor beggar to us." And there the king says to that beggar, "You can have whatever you want." He opens up his kingdom to offer him whatever he wants. And the beggar responds, "I'd like a bowl of soup, please." The king is insulted. Of all the things he's opened up his kingdom to him, of all the things he could ask, is this small little asking for a bowl of soup? When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are thinking of the big things. We're not just thinking about God giving us daily bread or making this world a better place. We're thinking of his victory over the devil. Pray for the big things, because you have Christ, the priest, seated at God's right hand, and he's coming back. The king's son has finally turned to his people, and he has told them to wait. What do you suppose their response is? They know what he's asking. They know what he's getting after when he says, wait, that he's talking about a kingdom which comes by faith. And so the people, in this strange response, begin shouting for joy. They rejoice. They shout hallelujah, because faith knows when God says, wait, we have reason to praise him, because he is going to care for us, protect us, keep us, always. We know his rule has already begun. And that is why we pray, thy kingdom come.